This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geeks, show number 652 with Dave Hamilton, recorded on June 26th, 2025. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation. All for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Carlson, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in beautiful Bellevue. Actually, it's not beautiful. It's super hot. Bellevue, Nebraska. We post the show with some world-class show notes at TheAverageGuy.tv. Big thanks to our Patreon subscribers. So many of you every single month supporting the network. Appreciate that. If you want to join that team for 1 month or as many as you want to stay around, head out to TheAverageGuy.tv/Patreon. You can get on that right now. And then big thanks to our affiliate link users. Head out to theaverageguy.tv. I've just got an Amazon affiliate link there. Click on it. It'll take you to Amazon. And, of course, that supports the show. A few of you have been doing that, and I appreciate it as well. Hope you enjoyed the show last week. Sorry for a little bit of the sound issues we had. We had some clipping going on with the AI. I got some good emails back. I asked for some emails, and you sent me some. Gavin, Jim Shoemaker, Kyle. Thank you for your emails on the AI co-host. Appreciate that. And Dave and I are going to talk about it here in just a second, but appreciate your guys' feedback on that. All right. Dave from Mac Geek Gab is hanging out with us tonight. Not his first rodeo here at Home Gadget Geeks. Dave, great to have you back.
It's great to be back here on, it's National Bomb Pop Day that we're recording this, so that's good for your heat over there. And also, just to be nerdy, it's National Barcode Day, so there you go.
Oh, I like that. I didn't even know those existed. That's awesome. Yeah. You're now playing the role I play on Ask the Podcast Coach on Saturday mornings, where I'm always saying, Happy National Pancake Day or whatever.
Yeah.
So good to have you. I alluded to this in the pre-show. Last week, we had a co-pilot, AI co-host sitting in the seat next to me asking at questions. I put together an outline. I think it did a pretty good job. What do you think about this new space, and how would you feel about talking to AI for 60 minutes or whatever?
I mean, I talk to AI all the time when I'm in my car. I use the ChatGPT app on my phone, and you get it started in voice mode, and then I ask it questions and have a long conversation with it. I'm a drummer, as we mentioned in the pre-show, and driving home from gigs, usually the last thing that I want to do is listen to music at that point in my day. And so I'll listen to podcasts, but if I'm sleepy, having a conversation is great. And so I use the ChatGPT app, I put it into voice mode, and I will have a 30, 40 minute conversation with it about all kinds of things, whatever it is I want to learn. We bought a new car earlier this year. And so I one night on the way home, I asked it, I'm like, hey, how do car dealerships work? How does the profit structure work? Like, I want to negotiate a fair deal for everyone. But in order to do that, I need to know how this works. And it was great. It like walked me through. It's like, oh, make sure you ask this question. And here's how this part works. It's a little bit weird. They kind of obscure it. I'm like, yeah, I got that. So anything. I actually had it. I had an issue with a sound engineer once where things got heated unnecessarily in a text train, like leading up to this gig. And I'm like, I gotta like smooth this guy out when I get there, because we got to work together for like 6 hours now. And I asked ChatGPT, I had 30 minutes on the way to the gig, and it gave me a script. It said you should use non-complimentary behavior as the thing. Like if he's, you know, agitated, you go the opposite direction, and here's the thing to say. And it gave me a script, and it said, does that sound good? I said, well, yeah, but I'm driving. I need to rehearse this. Can I just say it back to you? And I did. And then it gave me feedback, and it was like, great, but you missed one thing. And I know it seems unimportant, but this is kind of the crux of the whole thing. So I did it again. I did it a third time, and it was like, you've got this. Have a great gig.
Yeah.
So
great.
Yeah. So I have no issue chatting with AI. I do it all the time.
Yeah. Do you think it would make a good podcast co-host if you set it up correctly? I mean, it's a long time to listen to an AI that's not emotional, not confrontational, not, you know, because that's one of the things. They're super nice. Like it's the best friend you'll ever have. It's not going to say anything mean about you, or it's not going to laugh at your jokes. Although I did find one recently that does, but it's not going to laugh at your jokes. It's like, I struggled with talking to it because I couldn't see a face. Like, I can see what's going on in your eyes, right?
Yeah.
Where you and I are doing this. It was weird not having that kind of that emotional or that human feedback of facial expressions. And I don't think an avatar would change anything because it would just sit there and move. Really.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah. No. For the first like 10 or 12 years, at least, that we did Mac Geek Gab, the technology was such that we did not have video. So we didn't see each other, even in like the back room, let alone releasing video. We were just, it was audio. And in a sense, I liked that better than the video thing, because it's very easy for us humans to say, so yeah, it's my new iPhone case. And, you know, they're just showing it. And it's like, yeah, well, 98% of our audience is audible, so you can't do that to them. You know, it's like, so I was used to that. It's been a long time since I've done it, but I do miss
it. I like it.
I have, and I'm not doing it now, but I have gotten in the habit of not looking at, like, hiding my self view when I do shows, because it's mentally exhausting to look at ourselves all the time.
Oh.
Well, think about this. Where in nature do you find reflections? Mm-hmm. Water.
Water.
But that's an imperfect reflection, right?
Yeah.
It's not what we get on Zoom calls. And they said, you know, and of course, every survey that you hear on the internet is 100% accurate. But it was a survey done during like lockdowns and all that, where everybody was on Zoom. And they watched people's eyes, and they said that people spend about 85% of the time looking at themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's it's just mentally exhausting because it's abnormal. So anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I do a lot of presentations like this, and I actually find it helpful to watch myself to say, what are people seeing? Like, am I making a funny face? Am I, you know, because there's been times.
But that's exhausting.
It is.
You wouldn't do that if you were in front of them.
Well, but maybe I should. Like, I'm an eye wanderer, right? I've looked all over when I'm talking to people. I'm like, blah, and I'm not here. It's kind of, and I still do this, even when I'm here, losing eye contact with who I'm talking to or whatever.
Yeah.
But you're right on all those. I like it that way.
I get it. We get used to these things.
For sure. A booger coming out of my nose, or, you know, some of those kinds of things.
Yeah. Just to make sure. The good thing is most people that are on those calls are looking at themselves, so it doesn't matter. You could have a huge booger and it wouldn't matter.
We're all looking at ourselves. Hey, look, I was in the office in person the other day, and I went the whole morning with my collar jankety in the back, you know, and there were people, we had people in the office, and I go into the bathroom and I'm looking in the mirror and I'm like, I have been here for 2 hours and no one said to me, hey, let me fix this for you.
It's because they didn't notice. I think that's probably what it was.
I think you're right. I think you're
also self-absorbed. It's fine.
No, it's good. Hey, we've got some topics we're going to cover, but I told folks, if you've got some Mac questions for Dave, this is probably, so rather than doing a speed round in the end, let's do a quick speed round on some questions that came in while we're waiting.
Great.
Tony is asking, let me jump in here. He is asking, what do you use for photo organizer?
I use Apple's Photos. It's extremely powerful. It has a good editor. It syncs to all my devices, usually. But I use Apple Photos. I pay for iCloud storage, but I have all of my photos synced down to one of my Macs. That's the setting that you set where you turn off optimized storage. It pulls them all down. I have them saved to an external drive on one of my desktop Macs, so it's always there. And then once a day, I sync the original photos from that library to my Synology disk station to have there. So I can also use Synology Moments, which is there, or Synology Photos. I forget. They keep changing the name of it. But I can use that if I want, but it's rare that I do. But I know that I have that backup.
HomePod mini pair as computer speakers?
I'm an audio nerd. being a drummer and all those things. Wi-Fi speakers are great. That's what HomePods are. But they do come with a bit of latency. So when you're, you know, getting an alarm bell on your computer, you're doing something where there's that instant audible feedback. Depending on how your HomePods are set up, you might get a little bit of lag. For many people, that might be totally okay. For me, it's not okay. I want to hear audio coming out of the computer, and I want to use, I use an Audio Engine D1 as my DAC, digital to analog converter. I think it's about $100, and it plugs into a USB port on my Mac, and the speakers plug into that. And years ago, they're like, oh, it's going to make a difference for the sound. I'm like, well, my Mac has a DAC in it. You know, I don't need a DAC with a dongle. There's a whole thing. We could do like a whole who's on first thing with this. It's a dongle in your DAC, kid.
That is great.
Yeah. But they told me, they're like, it's going to make a difference. You'll hear it. And I'm like, sure, I will. Okay, fine. And so I, with no belief whatsoever that this was going to make any difference, I took my speakers that I had plugged into my Mac's audio out port, and I plugged them into the audio out port of this thing, and I played a song. And just in Apple Music, and this was well before Apple had anything lossless or anything like that. And the sound field was so much wider I did not move the speakers. Nothing changed. And I used a dB meter to make sure that the levels were the same. Like, it wasn't, because we humans, louder sounds better. Yeah. To a degree, like to a point. And so I used the dB meter to calibrate and make sure I wasn't, you know, fooling myself. And I wrote them, and I'm like, this is insane. And they're like, right, that's the thing, because you get a discrete power source and you're not inheriting all the noise that's inside the computer for the audio converter, and it's just going to sound better. So that's not really an answer to should you use HomePods as computer speakers, but I feel like HomePods are better for standalone speakers in a room somewhere where you get that. I think you can do better for less with just plugging in.
I bought a pair of Roland shelf speakers 15 years ago that are wired, and mm-hmm. It wasn't even doing wireless at that point. And they have lasted. I mean, they've been the test of time. They're great speakers. I can get them loud if I need to. In fact, I've had them so long, the switch is if you touch it. So I don't mess with those anymore.
Sure.
But they have been good. They've been really good shelf speakers. So those have worked out. I've had my eye on a pair of, I've got them in my Amazon cart. You know, I'm the kind of guy who puts stuff in the cart and then saves it. So you kind of watch the prices, but a Edifier R 1280T powered bookshelf speakers.
Okay.
They've got some, and they're like $150 now. They've been as cheap as $99.
There you go.
And USB. In fact, one of the sets has two USB kind of something. No, what is that? It was something different, two different channels. Anyways, pretty reasonable shelf speakers for the price. Now they've gone up with the tariff stuff going in or whatever.
Sure.
They were as cheap as $99. Okay, last question for you, and then we'll dig into this. Brian asked the question, how have your recommendations or configurations changed with system on a chip with Apple Silicon? And, you know, I was looking back at, I think, an episode of Mac Geek Gab, just recent one. It could be two away by the time this gets published. But you guys were talking about backup settings as well as getting rid of the cruft from Time Machine when you're bringing things back. If you were going from a Time Machine backup that was non-Apple Silicon onto one that was, would that make a difference? I don't know. Just some thoughts.
This is a conversation we're definitely having right now on Mac Geekab. You know, there was the big changeover when Apple Silicon first came out, and the early adopters like me, jumped on that bandwagon. But I was a mixed household. I had, you know, machines with Apple Silicon and machines with Intel. In fact, the studio here was Intel until a famous day when, even though I am very well protected against lightning, when there's a strike literally in the yard, it can blow things out just through the air. And my 2019 IMAX screen did not survive that, nor did my wife's Intel Mac Mini. So it was an expensive week. It was two computers and a lot of ramen. But it, now I'm on a Mac studio up here. So I moved over. It, but the point to this story is, even this is 2 years ago, I think, I did not have time to like start fresh or really do anything other than let's clone this over. Let's use Migration Assistant and just bring it over. And I got a show to record in 2 days that, you know, I got to use this setup. So it was like, rip everything out, tear my hair out, do the thing, get it over. And it was like, yep, everything's fine. And that remains true. Migration Assistant is really good at that migration from Intel to Apple Silicon. There might be, we had somebody just write in recently in response to the episode you mentioned, where they said they needed to reinstall Dropbox because the version of Dropbox they had was Intel only. And one other thing, but you can easily find that in System Profiler. It will tell you which apps are Intel versus Apple Silicon. So yeah, the migration, I mean, I know it's probably a good thing to, you know, nuke and pave and start fresh every now and then, but I ain't got no
time
for that.
It's super convenient. You know, I went from the M1 to the M4 mini and literally to out an hour, maybe. I wasn't that.
That's it. It's a non-event.
It's in, comes back up, and you're like, Mac Mini 2.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. Right. It's sort of a non-event, which kind of sucks, because it's like, oh, I got this brand new computer. It literally acts the same as the old one.
going from Intel base to Apple Silicon, were there app change? Like, I remember that transition, and there was all kinds of weird things going. Any configuration changes that came out of that era? If someone was making that change, you would say, oh, you got to do this instead of that. When you think about that cutover.
Back then, yes. But now, every app is universal for the most part. I'm sure somebody's going to write in and be like, not this one. And you're right. Like, you know, it for a long time, I think it was Microsoft Edge or Google Chrome. You had to choose whether you were downloading the Intel version or the Apple Silicon version, which just didn't make sense to me. It was like, why don't you just compile it as a universal and be done with it? But, you know, somebody made a decision and that was it. So, but by and large, if you make sure your apps remain up to date, it's going to be a non-event.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that will close the lightning round. No pun intended. The lightning round.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Good thing it didn't wipe out your backup on that, like the drive. It didn't fry the drive.
It was just the screen. It was fine. Like, and literally what I did was I used a flashlight to light the screen because I could still see images on it. It was just the backlight for both sides. It wasn't even one side. Okay. And that's what I did to like get it back up and running-ish. And then clone it, you know, Migration Assistant directly to it. And it was like, okay, great. Like this, I mean, it's non-optimal, but functional. But that's the part that sucks is I have this, and I know with the 2019 iMacs, the biggest cost component is the screen in those. But it was like, you know, I have this perfectly good iMac that I can't really use. I mean, I suppose I could. But it's, you know, big and the screen is worthless and, you know, all of that. So it sits on my floor.
It's sad to see a screen like that go. Right?
It is. Well, and sad to just have to throw away the i9 Intel chip. Right. I mean, that chip rocked. It was super fast. It was going to last me 10 years if it didn't die.
Could you repair it? Could you buy? It probably wouldn't be worth it. I mean,
it's not worth it.
No, right.
Yeah. But I could, I could repair it. If somebody out there knows how to do it, like it for $300 or less, because it's not even the screen, it's just the backlights. So maybe there's a way. I don't know.
I'm sure. Well, you're back up and running. So
yeah, that was it. I did not have an option. It's just like, go spend a lot of money and forget about it. So yeah, that's what I did.
Sure. It's kind of nice, right?
I mean, it's kind of nice. I didn't really complain. Oops. Yeah, exactly.
Gotta go. Sorry, honey. We gotta go.
Well, her computer died too, so it was a whole thing.
That was pretty great. It was terrible. That's what I meant to say.
But all good.
Yep. Yeah. No.
Right. All's well that ends well. And that was it. We got the whole house up to Apple Silicon with those. So it killed the two Intel machines and everything else remained. So this was kind of a targeted strike. Yeah.
Maybe it was a sign. Time to move on, Dave. Trying to move on. Mm-hmm. Hey, before we move away from the Mac topics, give me a little hint. Anything coming up on Mac Geek Gab that you wanna highlight? Why folks should head over there and
You get to decide what we talk about in a sense. You know, the show is Q&A. It is about our listeners. It's what they want us to talk about. And it's a whole great community. Like, we have a Discord community of several thousand people that also participate and help each other. So the topics of the show are the things you all send in to feedback@MacGeekGab.com, and we answer your questions and share your tips and all that stuff. So it remains a pretty relevant conversation. But then there are those things where if we pick a topic, because we get, you know, hundreds of questions or emails a week, we kind of have to filter through and figure out what's going to work as show topics. And sometimes we'll pick one like this migration thing, and it's like, oh, I see. We touched a nerve here. Like, this is great. It, you know, but now we're going to have 3 or 4 weeks of this as it works through the system, which is awesome.
Yeah, cascading effects going through for weeks on end, and answering questions that create other questions, and somebody wants to chime in on that.
Exactly.
As well. I will say, listen, if you're listening to this show, you'll like that show. So get over there, give it a try, Mac Geek Gab, and give it a listen. I think you'll like it. You might like it better than this one, but come back. It's okay.
I doubt that.
All right, let's talk about, it's a good show, dude. You guys do a nice job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about my favorite topic. And when you brought this up, I'm like, yeah, well, let's absolutely talk about it. You are working on buying, using right now a robot lawnmower. Let me bring that up. Talk a bit about it. I just lost it.
It's the Eufy. So from the folks at Anker, the Eufy E15 and E18. I'm not certain anyone knows what the difference is between these two units. I think the E18 has slightly more RAM, but otherwise they're the same thing. And there's about a $300 price difference. The E15 is not inexpensive. It's $1,500 at the moment. And I have one. I've had one for about 6 weeks, I want to say now. And what's different about this versus every other robot lawnmower that's out there is that this one uses cameras. It does have GPS in it, but mainly the GPS is used for theft prevention. Like, if it leaves your general area, it's going to scream and yell and, you know, send a ping through a cell circuit. Like, all that's great. But in terms of mowing, you don't bury any wires. You don't put any poles in. You put the little base station somewhere in your yard and tell it to start mapping. And it uses its cameras to map out your entire lawn, just like a robot vacuum would. Although the difference is that, you know, robot vacuum maps your floor of your house in like 10 minutes and then it's ready to go. This basically goes through a full mowing cycle without the blades running before it says it's done mapping. Yeah. So it took, you know, a couple hours or whatever to map the lawn. Then you can split the lawn up into different sections. And if you've got, it's actually really cool. If you've got two sections of lawn that are not contiguous, right? We have like our backyard and our, like, the yard kind of next to it is separated by our patio. And so once it finished mapping the backyard, I said, all right, I want to tell you about this other yard. And it's great. Put me somewhere that I know that I am. So I put it at like the edge of our backyard where the patio is. And it said, got it. I know where I am. And then on my phone, it put up like a little joystick thing. And it said, drive me to where the new grass is. And I will remember this path. And it's awesome. I'll be sitting on the path. I did it kind of around the edge of the patio so it wouldn't get in the way. And it would have a good chance of like chairs not being there, left haphazardly and all that stuff. And yeah, I'll be sitting there on the patio and see the thing. And it's just like, you know, it drives around the edge of the patio and then it starts mowing again. Yeah. And it's super quiet. Like, you hear the motor for the wheels go when it's like driving, but I mean, it, you know, we're talking, I mean, it's probably 30 dB or something. Like, it's not loud. Yeah.
One of the big complaints, of course, with all of these, I've been looking at the Yarbo because they have a new edger attachment now.
Yes.
$5,000. These are $1,500. By the way, I think the E15 and the E18, I think the 18 is a little more powerful because it says 0.3 acres versus 0.2 acres on the website. I don't know, like you said, maybe it's because of RAM.
I think it's a RAM thing. Yeah. Okay. I really don't know. I mean, this thing says it'll do 8,000 square, whatever yards, meters.
Yeah.
And my lawn is about 12,000. It does my whole lawn. So I really don't know what the difference is between the 15 and the 18.
Yeah. Tell me again what part of the country you're in.
I'm in New England. I'm in New Hampshire.
Okay. So you have snow and you have cold. Are you going to pull that in the winter? Are you going to pull it in and protect that battery? Or are you going to leave it?
No, I'm going to pull it in. The garage for it is covered in a sense.
Did you make one or did you buy one or did
it's part of it. The charging station is its garage and it's covered.
It's got a top on it.
Right? It's got a top on it. Yeah. The mower is, I don't want to say it's waterproof cause I'm not certain of that, but it's pretty waterproof. Like I've had it out there mowing in the rain and it's fine. Like, you know, obviously and there's a difference. If you've used a robot vacuum, this concept is easier to grok. But before we all got robot vacuums, it was like, well, I vacuum my house once a week. And of course that was a lie. You did it once every 3 weeks. Right. And so it's like, oh, it's a big chore and all this stuff. Well, the robot vacuum, you have it run every day. And it's just doing incremental stuff. And the same is true with this mower. I have it, it mows every day but Sunday, just because of the way the schedule that I built is. And it, basically, it mows each section of yard 2 times a week. And so even if the grass is wet, you know, how much are we taking off? Like,
right?
Like, it's not very much. So it mulches really nicely. It looks really good. If you have a flat edge, you can teach it to ride up on that to really kind of get all that. But we did have to buy a trimmer. We bought a $40 trimmer or something to go and do that. And that we can do once every 2 or 3 weeks. Like it's totally fine.
With a regular mower, you got to have a trimmer as well. It's not like,
exactly.
I mean, I have a push mower. I still have to trim it as well.
Yeah. But we paid someone to mow our lawn the last 20 years. And this year it would have been about $900 for the season to pay them to mow. And so this thing's got a 2-year warranty, I think, maybe a 5-year warranty. I forget, but, certainly the warranty lasts longer than it would take for this thing to pay for itself. And to me, that's, you know,
you feel like it's going to hold up. I mean, you've had it out there for a couple months and you feel like it's going to, some of those things, you know, they look great. You put them in the elements on a full-time basis, they start breaking down fast, right?
Correct.
You know, you're like the tires start peeling or the plastic starts kind of turning funny colors or some of those kinds of things. Are you, so because, you know, many of them have training or they've got LIDAR or they're using some kind of GPS or whatever. Do you feel, can you get to the camera footage? This would be interesting. Can you get to the camera footage?
I can drive. I can see what the mower sees. That's while funny. It's mowing, even when I'm not home, because it's Wi-Fi based. And so I can see. And if it gets stuck, I have been able to, like, you know, rejigger it. But usually when it gets stuck, you've got to go and grab it and like move it. And then it's fine. And you can mark out like, don't go there again. And, you know, that kind of thing. So
because Eufy is a security company, are they using the same like recognition software on those cameras to recognize people or pets or objects? Is that kind of what's happening?
Yes, that is what it's doing. Yeah. And, you know, people understandably are concerned because they're thinking about like a push mower with a huge blade and like, well, if my dog gets in the way of this thing, like, is it just going to mow down my dog? No, this thing has a disc on the bottom that spins and it effectively has 3 little razor blades on it that cut your grass. You replace the razor blades. I'll probably go through 3 sets in a season, you know. And just based on the amount that we have it mow, because we have a yard that is actually larger than this thing is supposed to cover, but it's fine. It does great. But we'll probably replace the blades 3 times, and that it came with 3 extra blades. So like that's already included. Your first year is good to go. But the 3 sets of blades is $36. Yeah. And if the disc that the blades connect to, if that gets like messed up because it hits a huge rock or something, that disc is $25. Oh, so like good. The maintenance on this thing is, it's like almost non-existent. Like it's a rounding error. Yeah. It's really quite good, something, man. I'm blown away by it. Yeah.
I have a pretty good size hill in my front yard that I'm always worried about. Will this thing, it's got so 40 degree hill?
40%, 18 degree incline. Yeah. I think I've seen it do more than that, which makes sense that they would advertise 18 degrees and let it go to 20 or something. But yeah.
It's always been, if I did go this route, this is kind of what's always, but two things. The hill has always kind of stopped me because I'm going to have to do some things like, well, maybe I'll just landscape the hill. So I have to handle it. That's another $1,000
probably. Yeah, exactly.
You get done, right? You know, okay. The other thing is I've got some spots on the lawn where there's some obstacles that they're not too high, but you know, they're a little distance to get over, just some things. Did you feel like you had to flatten some things out for this at all?
No,
you put it in. Okay.
It kind of figured it out. I mean, it probably took 2 or 3 weeks to figure out like which areas of the lawn should be mowed at the same time or in the same day, and like balancing time and all those things. The more navigation it has to do, the longer it takes. If it's just going back and forth across a big field, it cooks. But you know, when it's got to stop and like negotiate around like rocks and all the other things, that's where it slows down. Okay, fine. Like I truly don't care. It starts at 8 a.m. and goes until about 8 p.m. And it's totally, I could care less. The thing is, it's supposed to save me time. And at least for the first few weeks, I spent a lot of my time just watching it in awe. but you know, it took a few weeks to really carve out like the map of the lawn. Like it does the mapping, and then you can go in and say, yeah, don't go over here, don't do this, you know, watch this, or always mow this area, even though it looks like it's not grass, there's grass growing there, and I want you to keep it mowed, or you know, whatever. And so you do all those things. And then now we have one area of our yard that I call moss land. And there's some grass there. It's worth having the thing run around over there. But, it's a bunch of rocks and moss, and it'll get stuck sometimes if the ground is wet, like, that, you know, that'll dig up the moss or whatever. So that area is an area that it does all alone one day. And we just know, if we see it stuck, it'll give us a notification. Just go out and grab it, move it, and it does its thing. But if that area doesn't get mowed for 3 weeks, whatever. Like, it wouldn't matter. So, but yeah, the areas with just like lush grass, that's where this thing really shines. It looks great. You get nice little lines. You can set what direction you want it to go. You know, if you want a diagonal or whatever. So,
yeah, no, right. You get patterns. You can set the patterns. You can do alternates if you want them to. Yes.
Yeah. The alternates, I'm not sure if it does that yet. They've been updating the firmware a couple of times a month since I got this thing. And looking back at reviews, the reviews for the first couple of months that it was out were not great. People had a lot to say, but they fixed all of those problems and addressed those complaints. And by the time they sent me one, it was like, yeah, no, you're going to love this thing. I was like, okay. Nice. And they were right. It's like, yeah, you pry it from my cold, dead fingers. The problem with it is going to be that it's going to, like, I know now that I must have a robot snowblower.
Yeah. Well,
I must. Okay.
I mentioned the Yarbo, right?
Yeah,
and
I know.
Right now you're talking $5,000 for the base unit, but then, you know, you can add that snowblower to it, right? I think it's pretty good from what I've seen, right? I've been super skeptical of electric based snowblowers. Like, I was super skeptical when mowers first came out. I thought, oh, no way. And I actually had an old battery version, lead acid battery version of the very first like Black and Decker electric mowers that came out.
Okay.
They were okay. Not like what we're seeing now, right?
Sure, sure.
Tried to be a full mower. When I first saw the snow blowers come out, I mean, the torque needed to push that snow sometimes. It's just so great. But
so
apparently they're pretty good.
Yeah. Well, again, it's a paradigm shift. You or I, certainly me, I don't want to speak for you necessarily, but I think I can in this regard.
I think I know where you're going.
Yeah. You or I would wait until the storm was over to go out and snowblow. We're not going to go every 90 minutes. Right. But the Yarbo doesn't care, you know, robot. And so as soon as there's 2 inches of snow on the ground, that thing does its first pass. And I remember talking to the Yarbo folks. They said they modeled the Yarbo after a storm that happened about 15 years ago in Buffalo, where the rate of snow was more than it had ever been anywhere else in the U.S. And they built it to handle that. So I think the current Yarbo snowblower module can go is a 14-inch height. The only time it would ever deal with 14 inches is the end of your driveway, the plow line that the street plow leaves, right? Otherwise, it's going and doing 2 inches, and then it goes home, it charges up, waits for time, and goes out again. And again, I wouldn't do that, but I'll happily sit in the house and drink cocoa while my $6,000 robot does it for me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no, listen, it's a different way.
It's a different paradigm. Right.
It's a different way of thinking. Yeah. You're like, no, it's going to be out all the time. I'm going to send it out after, or it's going to go out after.
It's just going to go
the first quarter inch or.
Correct.
Yeah.
And yeah. Just keep on running, trucking, little buddy.
Yeah. Charge it. Go again. You don't care.
I don't care. Yeah, right. It's like, in fact, it's what it wants to do. Like, it's super happy to do, you know, and I know we talk a lot about, you know, AI and robots taking people's jobs. And this obviously took the job of my friend Rick, who is also a drummer and I've known for years. And like, we're not going to pay him $900 this year. Yeah. And, but he came over to see it and he's like, I want to see this thing. And he asked me all these questions about it. And I'm like, yeah, man, it's like, it's legit. It's done right. The paradigm shift of going to cameras, I think, is the huge thing. Cause burying a wire, a lot of people give up on that. The GPS thing, if you have too much tree cover, it, you know, it starts to get janky and that. So yeah.
Yeah. Nobody wants to bury Tony's out. Nobody wants to bury the wires, right?
No. I mean,
those early ones were like wires and a whole bunch of setup, and they've really gotten, you know, they've really gotten pretty good. I was chatting the other day. I was chatting with the AI about the mower. We didn't get a chance. We were going to talk about mowers on the show and I ran out of time. And so
I really had no idea how obsessed you were with mowers. And I did it was like, oh, Home Gadget Geeks, they're going to talk about my mower.
No, this is awesome.
I know. It's serendipitous.
We've talked over the last couple of years. We've talked a lot about mowers here on Home Gadget Geeks. So Gavin just got one. And
what was
interesting is I was trying to figure out the angle. Like, I'm like, okay, how do I get the angle on my you know, driveway? Do I get the level thing on? And it was like, hey, dummy, just take your phone, put the level app on, set it on the ground. Or you could take a level, you know, so you get kind of a level spot, put it on the ground.
I did have to build when I first set it up, I put the garage for it on a very flat area of my lawn where I could plug it in, and it was just like, let's see if this thing works. And it did. And it was like, all right, now I want to move this garage to the north side of my house where the air conditioner is and the generator is and all the things I just don't want to look at. You know, it's like, it's fine. And there was not a flat area to put it there. It does pretty well climbing up into its little house, but I had to build it the problem was, as it rained, like the little ramp of dirt that I built would wash away because that's how nature works, you know? Right. So I had to, I MacGyvered it. A little thing. Yeah. And now it's working fine. Yeah.
That took
20 minutes.
Rock down, tamp some rock around it, you know, put some couple layers of rock, tamp it down. You're good to go.
I did that with the rocks. And then I held the rocks in I took some, you know, those like rectangular trays that are maybe 2 feet long and 6 feet wide that when you get plants, like tomato plants at the store, I turned those upside down and put them over the rocks because they give a nice surface to grind like the wheels on. And I filled it with dirt so that it won't move, but you still have that like nice little, and it's like, my wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, like, but I think this is going to work.
I'm having fun and this is cool and stop ruining my fun.
Yes. Don't be a thief of my joy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's good review. Check it out. I'll have the link in the show notes. If you want to check it out, $1,500, you know, that Yarbo's 5,000. So, you know, as we're thinking, listen, when the Husqvarnas first came out, they were early, right?
They were early.
3,000 or 4,000, right?
And so
I think we're finally down. I don't think you're ever going to get a robot lawnmower for $500.
Have some now, but you got to bury the wire. You got to do the whole, you're involved in this process.
Let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about solar generators, although they're just big batteries, right? When we think about these products, I bought and have used the Blue Eddy, but you've got one that you've picked up here. Talk a little bit about this.
Yeah, this one, it could be solar. It's from Ampace, A-M-P-A-C-E, and it's the Andes 1500. It's a portable power station. It certainly can charge with solar panels. It also charges with just by plugging it into the wall.
Right off the grid.
Right off the grid. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, what I like about these things is the idea of a generator substitute or something to augment your generator, right? Because you could recharge this with a generator and then it still runs your stuff. My daughter she lives in an apartment nearby, and for 3 days their power was out. It was a long story, but yep. And so she's like, you know, and it was their landlord's fault. It was a whole thing. So they're like, and their landlord lives on a different floor of the house. So they're like, we can run extension cords up and, you know, get you over this hump. And we're sorry. Okay, fine. And so I said, well, wait a minute. Yeah, take the power from your landlord to run your fridge or, you know, whatever. Great. But you're going to want to run your TV and, you know, all the other stuff. And so I said, this is a perfect test case for this, because you can't run a generator in an apartment usually. Like, indoors is ill-advised. But this thing charged up. They ran their TV and their Apple TV and all that stuff and a bunch of lights for 3 days. And I think they used 60% of the total charge on it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, you know, she was like, this is great. I'm like, yeah, I know. And then they moved it to their bedroom at night so they could have like a fan going in the sun. This thing ran really well. So
I called it a solar generator. We've had some debates about like that. Some of the makers of these have come at it from a solar angle. So they call theirs solar generators.
And Ampace does they'll sell you solar panels to go with it.
And then they call theirs portable power stations, I think. Yeah. And I use mine as a UPS. So it's got the cutover on that. Those are great. Have you thought about doing something like that?
I have a Blue Eddy one in the house that is acting as a UPS. It's an expensive UPS, right?
It is. Well,
I'll
challenge you on that in a second, but keep
going. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I think the Blue Eddy one, this one that we're talking about, the Andes 1500 is $1,000.
Right.
The Blue Eddy one that I have has less of a smaller battery, and I think it's like $400.
Yeah.
But still, you know, a UPS, even a powerful one, is going to be $150, $200. That said, this runs for way longer and cuts over so much better than most UPSs do. When the power flickers, UPS is sometimes shut off. And it's like, that's not your job. But you have one job. Like, don't turn off. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're cheaply made. Their batteries are terrible. Like, I mean, they will get you through a 15-minute power outage, and they'll shut down your PC to save, which you don't really even need anymore, to be honest with you. Like in most cases, if your power just goes off, you're fine.
You're fine.
This isn't 1997 where things save pretty well, right? These days.
Yeah.
But that being said, in some cases, I was working this through with a friend, thinking like, hey, he was going to buy a UPS, and what the size he needed was like $200. And I was like, dude, for $400, you can get a UPS and a backup power supply that will get you an hour, a two, maybe three, depending. Now, down here, I've got a lot of PC equipment, but in most cases, for the average human, it's going to get him a couple hours. Like mine, even mine is an hour. It gives me enough time to get the generator running, plug it into the house.
Exactly.
Fire things up, right? Which is what I'm looking for.
Yep, exactly. So these are, and again, if you don't have a house or you can't run a generator, or you simply don't own a generator, having something that lasts longer than 15 minutes makes a big difference.
Yeah.
And this thing is that, like, it'll run. And of course you can get things that are even bigger. Right. So, it's the future. Like, I know we're kind of on the cusp of it, but to me, it's the future. Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, there's a Jackery, Blue Eddy, Anchor, EcoFlow. These are 4 years ago. These were companies that sounded weird, right? You're like,
yes.
Now you're like, these are mainstream, you know, these are mainstream companies making. But the thing I like about it, and you're showing some smaller ones now.
This is the $300 one that's 600.
pick it up and take it with you and put it in a cart and roll with it and have power anywhere you want.
Well, if you camp or something, you know, man, this sure. is your thing. And sure. and bring a solar panel with you, and now it charges itself.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm a big fan. If something happened in the house and I needed that, I needed to take power with me, I would shut down my computer.
Yes.
It's three plugs.
That's
unplug
it.
And take it, pick it up and take it with me. So
yeah,
I've really liked it. Mine was let's say 800.
Okay.
But it's since come down to like 600, 550, you can get them. So
yep.
You're kind of showing those setups. Yeah. I think this is really, they're getting really good at this, and
the future
generation of batteries. Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, I think it's good. I've toyed with having just one on hand. And I also, you know, when I put the generator inlet into the house here last year to power the house, I came in with I came into the breaker box and I've got a disconnect so I can turn off the main power and turn it. It's, you know, so it's whole house power, right? Basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I built it in a way where if I wanted to, I could insert batteries in between the generator coming in and the house.
So yes. So I
could basically run full batteries on the house and then charge those batteries with the generator. If that's what I wanted to do, still having a hard time, you know, that's a $5,000 for me to get the batteries that I need. That's a $5,000, $6,000 kind of investment for, we only lose power once every couple years. And it's, it's tough justification. If I was in the country and we're losing the power all the time and those kinds of things, I might think differently.
We lose power less now here. But when, you know, we've been in this house almost exactly the same length of time I've been doing Mac Geek Cab. So 20 years. And, you know, there have been times where we've lost power for 3 days, 8 days, certainly a day here or there. And that happens once a year. We're in New England. All the power lines are above ground. And 100 years ago, they reforested our area with pine trees. Take a guess as to how long pine trees last before they start falling down.
Yeah. Not very long.
About 100 years. And so, you know, we're at that point where they're just coming down when the wind, and it's fine. We've taken some down in our yard, but you know, it's just how it is. So, we've always had a portable generator that we can run either the house or the office. My office is a separate building, but a couple of years ago, we got a standby generator for the house that just powers everything.
I wanted to, I started with a portable and then was like, I like the flexibility of a portable. I don't need it enough to be standby all the time.
Yep.
And I've got it wired up now in a wagon that if I need it, I just pull it out of the garage and put it
smart.
In the spot, plug it in.
Well, but what you could get though is a large battery that is your generator that has that Gentran connector on it that you can just plug into your circuit panel and you're good to go. And you know, I use the portable generator in my office now when the power goes out, but to have a battery there that's just ready to roll, I would rather do that and then charge it with the generator if the power's out long enough.
Yep.
Or solar.
Right on.
So anyway.
And I always go back and forth on solar. The problem here in Nebraska, power's so cheap, it's tough to justify. Like, you know, you're like, oh, I'd really that's like to throw $10,000 worth of solar panels on my roof, but then that's a 10-year payoff there. I'd be replacing them in 10 years, you know, kind of deal. So it's until that changes. Okay. A lot of the audience knows about that. Let's switch over last topic as we think about, I've been like, speaking of battery technology getting so good, this idea of batteries you take with you that you could even like in an emergency start your car has been pretty crazy, right? So tell me a little bit about what you got here.
So in a general sense, I have had batteries that can jumpstart my car in all of our family's cars for maybe not a decade, but close to it. Because it's so much easier to jumpstart your car. Well, A, you don't need another car to do it, right? So that's great. But also, even just, you know, getting a car, you got to get it up close and you're connecting the jumper cables and, you know, it's just a process. Whereas this is super easy. And we drive Subarus in our house. We have somehow become a Subaru household. Yeah. It wasn't intentional, but they work pretty well. One complaint about Subarus is that it's really easy to accidentally leave a light on overnight. And so you go to start your car and it's dead. And having something that you can plug in is, you know, and just start the car and you're off and running is great. Boost Hero, this thing that I'm showing here, is a flashlight, a portable car jump starter with 600,000 or 6,000 milliamp hours as a power bank too. So you can charge your phone. And it's got the jumper cables and, you know, it'll jumpstart anything up to, like, you know, it says a 6-liter gas engine, which is bigger than what most of us even would ever consider getting. So yeah, this thing's great. And it, you know, if you have these in your cars, put a note on your calendar every 3 months to go check the battery level, just to make sure that you're not leaving yourself in a lurch.
Leave it plugged in. Now, would it, it's not a smart charger that like when you're running the car, it could top it off. And then,
yeah, I mean, you could, you don't have to, yeah, I plug it in when it needs to be charged. Otherwise, it just lives kind of underneath the seat in the car and it's there. And I've jump started the car and not recharged it. It's not like it drains it completely. You could probably get, I don't know, 10 jump starts out of this thing.
I think so.
I mean, based on my experience, yeah. Yes. Well, yeah. Okay. But it might be half that, but it's certainly not just one or two. So,
okay. Yeah. Yeah. They have these in all kinds of different configurations,
yes,
and formats, yes, and different kind of hazard light configurations where you can,
yeah,
you know, put it on the back of your car. It'll flash for you. Some of those kinds of things, some with the, you know, the wireless charging for your phone. You could just set that on top of that.
Yep.
So you can pull that thing out and throw it on, and do wireless charging that way. I think this is a space where we are definitely, benefiting from a really good increase in battery technology, right?
Yes.
You go back
for
10
sure.
years ago or 15 years ago, no, and just not even possible.
Right.
You're carrying around a lead acid battery basically,
yeah, yeah,
to get
right.
the crank, right? The problem was always you need to have enough to get the crank, and these
correct.
New batteries can get that crank with not
lightweight.
Yeah.
There has been a huge increase in just the tech and capabilities of batteries in the last, you know, 10 years or whatever. And I think that's great. I think we get to thank, you know, electric car manufacturers for a lot of that, and laptop, yeah, I mean the whole thing. So,
that whole space. I mean, think about the old laptops from, you know, 10 or 15 years ago and the
12 minutes.
Yeah. And they'd explode, you know, the batteries would,
yeah.
Right. Those packages would bulge out and we've just gotten, and it seems like, I think we're ready for maybe one more jump. Seems like there's some salt technology or something along those lines where they're getting pretty good at this. I haven't looked into it, but I know I've watched some YouTube channels where they're like, hey, there's some things coming, might take us to the next jump on this.
I'll take it. I love it. I think it's, I love this world that we get to live in. What an amazing time to like be alive as a nerd.
No, it is.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. You never run out of things to talk about. I mean, people are like, I've often thought like, and maybe I'll ask you this question. You've done 1,000, almost 1,100 episodes, right?
Of MacGeekab. I've done over 2,000 podcast right. episodes when you add all the other shows together too.
Why haven't you quit on that?
I'm too dumb to quit. I love it. No, it really is like, I said it earlier. I think it was actually during the show, not the pre-show, where it's, you know, we have this great community that I get to be a part of. And I know it sounds trite to say that, you know, we, the hosts of the show, are stewards of this community, but it's not ours. It's everyone's. Yeah. And we all get to participate. And so why would I want to walk away from that? Mm-hmm. Is really the question. I love it. I love being able to do this. It's so, we have a Discord community. I mentioned there's several thousand people there. It is not, and I'm not proud of this, but my schedule sometimes often gets in a sense where I do not get to log into our Discord community, you know, for several weeks at a time. And there's never, like, we have some moderators, but there's nobody that fights with each other. It's all so like productive and helpful and all of those things. And it's like, look what we get to be a part of. And I know there can be an argument made that we helped create and foster this. And certainly that's true. But I mean, if I couldn't have planned for it to work out this well, no way. I wasn't supposed to be the host of the show, you know. We're recording this on the same day that Apple launched podcasts in iTunes 20 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, just so happens.
That's crazy.
And so we launched our show 3 weeks before Apple's podcast directory came out. Wow. And what we knew that it was coming because Steve Jobs had been on stage in like March of 2005 saying that it was coming, and he gave the date. So it was like, okay, this is great. And he spent like 15 minutes of his March keynote talking about podcasts. So that's a lot of time to devote. So as soon as we launched the first episode of Matt Geekab, AKA TMO to go, I started reaching out to everybody that I knew at Apple, and we had decent contacts with Apple. We'd been running Mac Observer for 7 or 8 years or something. And so I reached out, and of course, this is when Steve was running the company. And everybody that I talked to was like, well, it's not me. And I can't really, like, you know, if I tell you the wrong person, I'll get fired in an elevator because Steve gets mad. And to each of these people, I said, okay, I get it. But you know that this is your CEO's pet project. Like, this is not some secret thing that he hates. He loves this. And after the seventh person told me they couldn't tell me, I was like, what a stupid way to run a company. Yeah. This is the CEO's pet project and no one wants to talk about it. That's dumb. So I wrote Steve. Oh, wow. I didn't tell him it was dumb because I wanted results. I just said, hey, I know you're doing this podcast thing. We just launched. I want to make sure we're in your directory on day one. 20 minutes later, my phone rings. Hey, Dave, it's Keith and Apple Podcasts. We just got your email. It's, well, I didn't send it to you, Keith. I know how you got it. And he's like, we checked. You're in the directory. But now that we know about you, we want to feature you on day one. Because what a perfect show. Like, you know, it was a nerdy audience. Like, this was going to be great. And then they asked me, and I wasn't supposed to talk about this then, but I'm sure I can now. They were like, we see where you're hosting your show. Would you be okay moving it to your iCloud account? Because we want all the shows that we host, that we feature, to actually be able to take the influx of downloads on day one. And we don't think where you're currently hosting can do that. And I was like, yeah, but my iCloud account has a bandwidth limit. They're like, so not anymore. I was like, oh, I see. Okay, sure.
That's great.
Yeah. So we hosted on my iCloud account for probably the first year and then moved to CashFly. We struck up a deal with them and we've been with them ever since. But what that meant was, you know, we had like 500 listeners for the first two or three episodes. And then when Apple launched their directory 20 years ago, we went to like 25,000 listeners. Yeah. And that was right at the time where we didn't know what the topic of the next episodes should be. So I made up, I said, well, let's just say that we got some mail in and we're answering people's questions. So I just made up the questions and gave the answers. Yeah. But it was really just a way to be able to talk about the tech support things that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
And people loved it. And it was like, oh, yeah, woohoo, success. Oh, wait, I'm the host.
Right.
Crap.
And here we are 20 years later.
You got it. So that's why.
Later.
Yeah, I love it. Then there's a little bit of vanity in it. Like it's nice being recognized for what we do. But we love what we do. I don't want to stop.
Yeah. Right on. So I've gone through it a couple times and I just enjoy the conversations. I mean, listen, I get to spend the last hour hanging out, hour and a half.
Love it.
Out with you. So that's pretty, I mean, that's pretty great in my opinion.
And same. I love these kind of conversations. Yeah. And if other people can get something out of listening, and obviously you and I both, as we're doing this, we're having a conversation, but we're also structuring it to make sure that we're giving valuable information to people and hopefully not getting long winded about a topic and all that stuff. Yeah. But you know,
although I think there's some tolerance to that.
Right. Yes.
I mean, if everyone's
to
like,
a degree
fast. Yeah. Yeah. No,
right. Yeah. 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 But, and you learn that as you know, I mean, in the early days and even still now, but a lot in the early days, we'd get emails saying, Here's what's wrong with your podcast.
Oh yeah.
Here's how you should do it differently. And for most, and these people would say, so therefore I'm not going to listen anymore. And it would be like a 5-paragraph email about why they're not going to listen anymore. And how humbling is that? You care so much about this thing you're never going to listen to again that you wrote us a huge email about it. And so I would always reply and thank people. And in the early days, my response was, and if you want to start your own show to do that, let me know. I'll help you. Like, right. You know, so right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's been good to hang around. I started 15 years ago doing this.
Congrats, man.
Yeah, no, right. Yeah. It's been a good journey. I've enjoyed it. And we'll just keep going. And mm-hmm. We'll keep going. You guys don't have any plans to end. And I don't think. And you
I don't
anyway,
think so. No, I will say now that it was at some point 2020 or 2021. It was certainly during COVID lockdown. So it was probably summer of 2020. I had this image in my head and it was like, I got to get to MGG 20, meaning 20 years of Mac Geek Out. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. Like let's make that happen. And then, you know, we can move on or whatever. And since that time we sold the Mac Observer, but obviously kept the podcast and, you know, some other things kind of restructured. And so we hit MGG 20. That was just a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And, thank you. And, yeah. But it's like, like I said, I'm too dumb to quit. So, yeah, I don't have any plans to, I really like it.
I think that's the key, right? Yeah. Finding that thing you really like to do, whatever that is, you know, whatever that is. And then yes. Just do as much of it as you can. Life's too short.
Yes.
Oh, I'll wait till I retire or I'll wait, no. You know? Yeah, no, right on. Right on.
Yeah.
So well, good stuff. Dave, can you hang around while I close the show up? Is that okay?
Of course.
You okay for a second? And then we'll do a short post show. Couple reminders on the way out. One, if you want to join our Discord group, head out to theaverageguy.tv/Discord, much like yours, much smaller, but a great group of guys who are just hanging out, very nice to each other. I've never had I did have to once. We had a guy sneak in and I had to.
You get those occasionally, but it's like by and large, it's not someone from the community. It's some script kiddie. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, right on. Well, or yeah. So they were gone. Actually, this happened maybe a week ago. And Mike Weger, my co-host from a long time ago and administrator, he had forgotten he was administrator, caught it, deleted it, and it was done. So perfect. It was nice. Get that done. Don't forget the AverageGuy.tv platform, both web and media hosting powered by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and trust. You know this Christian. He'll be back on the show here in a couple weeks, and he still has plans for $10 a month. Check it out today, MapleGrovePartners.com, and Christian, appreciate that support. If you want to send me an email, you can do that, Jim@TheAverageGuy.tv. I'm taking a couple weeks off. Vacation time, 4th of July is coming up. I'm taking a week off of work. I'm taking 2 weeks off the podcast. So we'll be back, live listeners. We'll be back in 3 weeks. I think the way that works. And taking some downtime just to kind of refresh and repower. That's not the way you say it, but you know what I mean. We are live every Thursday, except for the next 2 weeks, at 7 p.m. now, 7 p.m. Central, 8 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv/live. Love to have you if you're a regular listener. Love to have you come out and join us live. Big thanks to Tony and Ken. I saw Brian out there. Was a little bit earlier. Anybody else? Bust Out had joined us a little bit earlier as well. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for coming out listening. With that, we'll say goodbye, everybody.